You've probably already heard me on America Out Loud before. I'm Dr. Andrea Pennington, co-host of Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. I'm an integrative medical doctor, empowerment coach, and personal brand architect, living in the French Riviera and Monte Carlo, Monaco. I'm excited to be part of this America Out Loud family with the launch of my new show, Liberate Your Authentic Self. I'm so proud of what Malcolm has put together with the America Out Loud Network, letting the silent voices be heard. And my contribution? Well, it's all about unleashing that silent voice within you, the voice of your authentic self, that part of you that is divine, perfect, and kick-ass. Aren't you ready to let a little more of the authentic you break through? Well, you can tune into my show daily from 12 to 2 Eastern. This show is for heart-centered, soul-conscious, and open-minded people who want to optimize their performance, pleasure, and profits. We've also got a special weekend edition, Saturday and Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern, where I take my show just a little bit deeper and a little bit edgier. Listen online or with the America Out Loud app. Liberate your authentic self with Dr. Andrea Pennington, the prescription for living your life out loud. Welcome to the slightly more provocative weekend edition of Liberate Your Authentic Self with me, Dr. Andrea Pennington, the prescription for living your life out loud. Tune in Saturday and Sunday to get fired up with insight and inspiration for conscious relationships and soulful success. So today we're going to talk about the all-inclusive lifestyle. You know, in North America, or maybe it's almost all Western cultures, there's a little bit of a sense of entitlement. Like we feel like we should be able to have it all. And certainly in America, you can go to any fast food restaurant and they're going to ask you, would you like the all-inclusive super meal deal? Where you can have everything for a special low price. But what happens when all-inclusive turns into all-abusive? I mean, you know, who can resist when you've got this unlimited, all-you-can-eat resort lifestyle available 24/7? Now, I know what you're thinking. Wait a minute, we're just out of, the throes of an economic crisis. Well, I don't know about you, but it's summertime. And this is when people start to open up their mindset, like they feel like they should indulge because we've been so good all year so far and the school year is done. I want to let loose. Well, here with me today to talk about this very issue is none other than my illustrious co-host, colleague, and friend, Helena Philipsen from Copenhagen, Denmark. Hello, Helena.
Hi, Andrea. Hi.
Lovely to have you here with me on Liberate Your Authentic Self. Normally, Helena and I co-host, along with Malcolm Out Loud, on the America Out Loud talk radio platform. We co-host a show called Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, where we mix it up all the time. But around here, we are dedicated to helping you live your most kick-ass, epic life. So let's get into it, Helena. You are just back from an all-inclusive resort vacation in Turkey. What did you notice?
Well, I used to always sort of in my mind categorize all-inclusive as being for a particular type of person. You know, you think all-inclusive and then we all have these images that pop up in our head. And I thought to myself, coming into this summer, I was like, okay, I've been working so hard. I'm building a business. I'm seeing clients. I'm doing radio with you and Malcolm. And I thought, okay, what I need is all-inclusive. So I went ahead, went online, started searching, and I thought to myself, okay, I just want the whole lemming package, right? I want to be shoved in a bus, on a plane, pulled back out, you know, checked into the hotel, pushed into the pool, and drug up to the buffet three times a day. I thought to myself, that sounds perfect to me. That's what I need right now. Make it easy, make it smooth, serve everything up for me. And that's what I booked. I just went ahead and did it. My family was like, yeah, we can do that. We can. We have three teens and they are basically constantly in the same mode. You know, they could do this all day, every day, all year round. Well, no, actually not. But they were all aboard. So we went ahead and did it. And like you said, I just came back. We spent a week in Turkey. It was beautiful. And it was just really, really great. And it made me think about this all-inclusive concept and how we live our lives. Because I used to have this idea in my mind that there are a couple of months a year where we switch into this all-inclusive months, right? You sort of mentioned it right now. And December is one of them. Yep. It's Christmas, treats are all around. It's all about that we are not going to worry. I mean, why is there such a thing as a New Year's resolution, right? Let's make up for all the bad shit we just did all throughout December. Spending too much money, drinking too much of whatever, eggnog or wherever you are, right? Christmas beers, eating too much, Christmas lunches, Christmas dinners, Christmas family parties, too many presents, you know, it easily becomes this overload of overindulging, overspending, which if you take it to an emotional level, can quite easily become self-abusive or self-harm, right?
That's so if you don't know your limits, if you don't restrain yourself and cut yourself off.
Yeah. And I think this is the really, really interesting thing about it. I wanted to launch and do a speak on freedom from emotional eating. People had been requesting this talk and I wanted to do it. And I thought, what better time than to do it than December? December is the time where you most need guidance, right? Where you most need the tools and the help. And then I ran across a really good friend of mine who happens to be dealing with this issue as well, emotional eating, but in her, as a private person in her life, she battles emotional eating. And she said to me, and this was actually very, very smart. She said to me, you know what, Helena, I think that's probably a really, really sensationally bad idea. And I said, why? And she said, because you know what, in December, it's legal. Everybody does it.
Yeah.
In December, everybody does it. So you don't stand out anymore. You get to kind of hide behind. It's normal, right? But anyway, now it's summertime. Right now, right? We're in the summer vacation. Kids are out of school. And it's a little bit the same tendency as the way it is in my perception, anywho, right? So summer, okay, we just want to relax. We want to and just get our, you know, buddies out in the sun. And we want to eat and drink and chill and like recharge our batteries. So when is that tipping point of the scale that you go into a mode that ends up not being actually really nice for you, where you keep thinking, okay, when I come home from this vacation, as soon as I get home, then I'm going to diet. Or then, that we've spent too much money, I'm going to just pull the plug as soon as I get home.
Well, I think that's the distinction. It's okay when we get home or when Christmas is over, we have New Year's. But in the rest of our lives, for most people, they're under pressure all of the time. And to be honest, unfortunately, in North America, well, at least with Americans, they often don't take a paid vacation. So most companies give people at least 2 weeks. And I know that sounds crazy. When I moved here to Europe, you know, there are people here in France where their entire business is shut down the whole month of August. Yes. You know, everyone goes away. You know, in Monaco, it's like it becomes a ghost town. But in America, there are many people who do not even take their full vacation, or they break it up into 2 days here, 3 days here, 4 days there. And so what I find is that many of my American friends tell me that they're stressed throughout the entire year. And so when they flip into this mode of, I just need to be cared for, I need to just take off the brakes, stop, you know, ruling and restricting myself, and I need to be pampered, that's the danger, because then it becomes a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week kind of cycle, because we're under so much pressure and stress that emotionally we don't have necessarily the willpower to say, okay, I think I need to cut myself off.
Yeah, totally. And I think the key lies in balance. the key lies in balance. And it's, I think it can be really difficult. I mean, I know what it feels like to work my ass off. I know exactly what that feels like. And I'm not sitting here advocating, oh, you can't spoil yourself or, you know, choose to be pampered or choose to go all in. What I'm looking for is the balance, because I know it's easier said than done, that if you balance out the rest of your year, you don't need that total unplugging, you know, just like going batshit crazy with the whole all-inclusive concept, because then your need is just smaller because you feel better the rest of the year, right?
Well, you know what I would advocate for? I would advocate for an all-inclusive lifestyle year-round, but included in that all-inclusive is adequate rest, adequate nutrition, adequate restoral of whatever recharges and refreshes you, whether that's massages, going to a spa, staying out in nature, just doing a 30-minute walk by yourself without the kids, you know, or even just a hot bath by yourself without the kids, or maybe with, well, you know. I'm just saying, if we program that in, and that's the thing I don't think many people do. They wait until they either hit a wall when their body or their brain is at near collapse. That's when they say, oh my God, I need to just recharge, and the body will just demand it. But if we could get into a habit of having this all-inclusive lifestyle that says, okay, sure, I'm going to work my little tail off. And maybe, you know, like as I do, I now work in 2-week sprints. So I will program, you know, a big, for me, as you know, publishing books, launching artists out into the stratosphere, we've generally got 1 or 2 big projects per quarter. But what I like to do is then break things down into a 2-week sprint where I am very focused, very disciplined on getting that project done. And then I program in some rest so that I'm not waiting 6 months for my next vacation to recharge, because then you're starting to run on fumes. And then by the time you get to that vacation or whatever, you're like, first of all, you're dead for the first few minutes of it. You're not even like enjoying wherever you are. You're just like recuperating. And second of all, then you don't feel like you can really take part in as much as you would want. Like I saw these pictures from you of, what was it, paragliding or some kind of craziness. I'm like, that looks fun. But as I was thinking about myself, I'm like, right now I just want to go and, like you said, just be pampered. I want someone to just like rub me down with oils, feed me like green juices and smoothies. But your vacation looked like it had a little bit of activity in there.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? I need to just like grab hold of what you just said, because I'm like happy, like a little, you know, like we're surrounded by kittens and puppy dogs right now, because you just said it. To live the all-inclusive lifestyle. And that's actually like one of my new next big projects that I want to do for my clients and mentees, because my point in all of this is that we could choose to live the all-inclusive lifestyle all the time.
Yeah.
See, the way I would describe my life up until 4 or 5 years ago, when I hit my total rock bottom, was that my life has been all-inclusive, but in the self-abusive way. Mm. I have not held back in picking and choosing everything in this life from both good and bad. I have taken everything I could get my hands on, from all the most crazy, insane vacations to the overspending and the grief and the bankruptcy that came with that. I have had the most insane love fairy tales, crazy romances, palm trees, blue seas, but also some of the abuse, both physical and emotionally, that came with that. Mm. You know, I have had a weight that was yo-yoing, going up and down and crazy. And the food that came with that, both really good and really, so my life has been all inclusive.
Well, where did that come from? Because Helena, I mean, I've hung out with you and I see you definitely living life to the full. You're out there, you're gregarious, you're fun loving. So it seems hard for me to imagine that, because you're like this picture of the out loud lifestyle, you know, smiley, happy, you know, full on. So where did that start for you? Were you like that even as a kid, are you saying, or when? When did that start?
Yeah, really good question. You know what? I was thinking about it the other day, because we did a show with Malcolm called The Tipping Point of Your Addiction, where we talked about emotional eating and where it all comes from. And he kept pushing for he wanted to understand why. Why does it start? Where does it come from? What happens? And very, very often in my experience, there is no one incident you can point to. Hmm. Yes, I was attacked and assaulted in the streets when I lived in France by white nationalists when I was 16, 17 years old. But I was eating emotionally before that. Hmm. Yes, I had a very, very troubled relationship with my father and some very difficult things going on when I was a child. And that may rather be one of the causes. But when the really bad stuff happened, I was already eating emotionally before that. You know, I can mention all these things that normally people would say. And I do believe in some cases, yes, you can have a very traumatic experience happen in your life and then find a way to medicate your trauma, whether it is food or love or sex or money spending or drugs and alcohol. You can. But I think, honestly, really let me drive this point through, like with the most power I can. I think when you grow up in what I would call codependency, without a healthy emotional foundation as a child, you develop survival strategies. Hmm. One of my survival strategies was eating. I found comfort in it. I focused on it. I started thinking about it and fantasizing about it. And I would get all like, ooh. And I remember, Andrea, I must have been about 10 years old, is one of my first memories of planning to binge eat. Mm. I really developed a plan in my head of how I would go to the local bakery and pretend that I was from the youth club that I went to, that the adults had sent me so that I could buy 20 Halloween buns, which is a Danish thing, with cream and jam, and it's, you know, whipped cream, and it's these like voluptuous bastards of a calorie bomb that actually tastes really good, but that's a different story, right? And I did it at 10 years old. I went to the bakery, Wow. Pretended sent by the adults, signed some sort of very dubious signature on a receipt, and went home with 20 of these, you know, Halloween buns.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, and I remember eating them one by one, and I think I got to about three, maybe into the fourth. And at this point, the disgust overwhelmed me. And if you think about it, at this age, I mean, it normally takes a while. In the beginning, you just enjoy the food. You enjoy the food, and then, poo, you feel stuffed, and then you start feeling ashamed. The shame came almost instantly for me because I knew it was wrong. Hmm. I started feeling bad. It didn't feel good in my body to stuff myself with all of that, right? And also, I knew I had lied to do it. So my whole soul knew something is really, really wrong here. Something is just going terribly wrong. So when I say, use the term all-inclusive, that's actually exactly what I mean. How do you go from that kind of all-inclusive to this kind of all-inclusive? Because you said it, I am living out loud today.
Yeah, but here's the thing that I'm curious about. I think it's easy for a young person to really feel that twinge of knowing this ain't right. Even if they're still going to go ahead and do it, they have that twinge. They know it's not right. And I think there are adults who have lost their sensitivity to that little conscience.
Absolutely.
Right? And because, well, everyone else around us is also, you know, either overeating, overspending, oversexing, whatever. And we get into the rational mind and we start to justify. Well, I did work an extra 20 hours and I did this and I sacrificed that. So people could add up all the reasons why they're entitled to whatever that binge is. So where do we regain the control? I think it first has to start with regaining awareness of what is healthy for us, and maybe that's different for everyone. What is healthy for me? Where do I really need to draw that line so that I can have still this wonderful, all-inclusive, out loud life, but with the sensibility that means my body and my brain will still be here for the next 20, 30, you know, 80 years, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's the point where it changes comes when you've had enough. That's my experience. When you cannot bear to live that way anymore, you're not willing to go through life being filled with shame and regret, hating your body or hating your habits or hating whatever your problem is or whatever you may be medicating your emotions with. It's not my experience that the awareness is there of exactly why you're doing it or what the mechanisms are. And I think you go from a all-inclusive in the self-abusive way into a standing still point of complete calmness, in which you then have a window of opportunity to start developing a healthy foundation. And that would be a non-inclusive, like a total, this is where you start building a fence around yourself, because you need to build your core up. Your insides needs a foundation to be built.
But what you've just described is first hitting rock bottom. So when we get back from the break, I wonder if we could at least maybe empower our listeners to find, I don't know, maybe a few signs, so that, I mean, that's what I'm always trying to help people do, is like, avoid the dumb shit that I've done. Avoid those consequences. You don't have to smack yourself upside the head like I did. But when we get back, I think that's where we need to pick it up.
We're a new breed of talk radio with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio. Shows that impact your health, honor our heroes, political talk, shows that inspire you to live a truly authentic life. You can hear your favorite shows on networks like iHeartRadio or AHA Radio, or just download our free apps on both Android and Apple. But we are proud to have you as one of our growing family of listeners. We are the vision of the voices. AmericaOutloud.com. Now, without a doubt, my friends, this is a game changer. It was for me, and it can be for you. I want to give you an exclusive offer today for our friends of America Out Loud. We appreciate you, and we want to show it right now with our complimentary gift. You can try this today free with our Healthy Cell Pro 7-Day Sample. Now, when I say free, I mean it is 100% free. Free shipping, no risk, no obligation, no credit card required. It's a complimentary gift from us to you. Now, Healthy Cell, I'll tell you what, 90-plus nutrients are infused into every cell of your body. This product has been incredible for me personally, and I think it can be for you as well. So I want you to try it. It'll boost your energy, you'll sleep better at night, sharpens your focus, you'll feel healthier, and hopefully we'll all live longer in a beautiful, prosperous life I always talk about with you on the show. Well, I'll tell you what, you can go to the front page of AmericaOutloud.com and just click the large banner ad, and we'll have that complimentary gift right off to you.
You're listening to Liberate Your Authentic Self with me, Dr. Andrea Pennington. Check out the live version of this show, where I answer your questions in real time. Visit facebook.com/Dr. Andrea Pennington. You can also submit your questions via email. Send it to drandrea@americaoutloud.com. That's drandrea@americaoutloud.com. For many of us, human nature dictates whether we're going to be successful, healthy, happy, wealthy in life, or whether we're just going to have a mediocre existence. But if it really is human nature, where does awareness or consciousness or the soul step in? Is it possible to maybe shortcut our way to the happy, blissful life without going through some of the drama and trauma that our little ego mind can get us into? Well, we're going to chop it up a little bit further here with my guest, Helena Philipson. So, Helena, you talk about getting to a rock bottom. What you described is for someone who may be emotionally eating, so they're driven to eat, to soothe, to calm, to self-medicate whatever drama or trauma is going on in their life. And what you've described is that we can get to a point where we're so physically and physiologically just feeling like crap. And then emotionally and psychologically, we get to a point of disgust, both with ourselves, both with our behaviors. And we finally say, enough is enough. I cannot go on living this way. But that hitting of rock bottom, that getting to that point of utter disgust, I just wish we could avoid it. So in your own estimation, now you're tracing back all the way to the age of 10, when you can remember plotting and planning a binge episode. And I imagine your little brain was going, yeah, I'm just going to savor it and just, you know, like we get when we think about some delicious meal, but you went and got yourself like 20 of these little, you know, Halloween buns. So how do you think you might have, and I know you're much wiser, more enlightened right now, but if you could have pinpointed one little, I don't know, sign or one little action where you could have chosen to go in a different way, where you could have chosen the path to recovery even then, maybe it was your teenage years, maybe it was your early adulthood years, so that you didn't have to have all the emotional eating and the relationships that were a little cray and all of that. Just let me know if you yourself found any clues.
Yeah, I didn't.
Oh, great.
Yeah, no, listen, this is really, really clear, because my best answer would be, I wish that I had met me on Facebook, or I wish I had met me online, or somebody like me, so that I could see and feel the recognition. Because had I encountered the recognition, I know I have such an inquisitive character and personality, and I'm curious, and I wanted to feel better, even as you said, from a really young teen age, even then, I know I would have examined it. I would have looked into it. I would have followed it, you know, even if it was baby steps.
That makes me wonder, did you know anyone else doing it?
No.
So you just found the eating thing on your own. You recognized it soothed you. Did you have any parents or family members who started that at an early age? You know how we always say a kid falls off their bike, or they have to go and get a shot, and someone says, here's a lollipop or here's a cookie. And then obviously you give us a sugary or high fat treat, you're going to get the brain chemicals that make you feel like, oh, that was great. So it typically starts with someone else feeding us, where we notice that we get the benefit. Did you ever notice a pattern like that?
Not really. I mean, I remember that my father, who wasn't ever really battling weight issues, so it was one of those emotional eaters where the weight never showed it, which is actually very, very common. He would have a special treat, that a special candy that he's obsessed with even today at 70 something. He's still obsessed with the same candy, right? But I think it's just so normal. When I got sick, I would see my mom more. My mom was a real badass. She, you know, she would work and study at day, you know, at night to make the whole thing. Single mom, two kids, that whole type of thing. And when I got sick, I would get cold ice creams and I would get to see my mom a lot more.
Yeah.
But I think it's more complicated than that, and that's okay. But I think this is exactly why I do what I do, because these days everybody has social media.
Yeah.
So almost no matter your age, you need to be at a certain age as well to develop that awareness and that, you know, to have the actual capacity to tackle this, which is totally okay. That's fine. But if you can see it out there, if you see people talking about it on social media and you're like, wait a second, I feel like that sometimes. I feel like I eat when I'm not hungry. I feel like I can't stop eating even when I'm full. Hmm. I feel like I plan these special things around food, or I feel like I lose my mind when I go to a buffet, or to give you a really typical example that all my mentees, almost all of them experience, is if you have a best friend or a partner, like boyfriend, husband, whatever, and you've planned to go for this meal or this buffet, and he wants to leave early, or he doesn't want the dessert, you spaz out. You literally lose it. You literally lose it because you hang your hat on him, right? So he's part of this planning. So if you recognize out there, okay, somebody else is actually talking about exactly how I'm feeling, you know, and the shame of it, you could be so terrified just to go grocery shopping because you're so ashamed. You want to make it look like you're shopping for a child's birthday party, but you're not. You're just shopping for you. Right? Or you want to add three cucumbers, just symbolic three cucumbers that you put on top of everything else, because you're terrified that the next person in the line is going to look into your cart or your basket and be like, oh, fuck, that's the last thing she needs to buy. Like all of those feelings. Shame keeps our mouths shut. And as long as we think that we're alone with the problem, or that it is so shameful to mention, then it's very, very difficult to get the tools or the help or to break the cycle, like you asked. How do I break the cycle? Do I have to hit that, you know, terrible doom rock bottom, but everybody's rock bottom is also different, you know? So for somebody else, rock bottom might be at a place which is prettier than mine was.
Right.
Right.
I think it's really helpful what you're doing and how you're very vocal, and the stuff that you share on social media, it's kind of honest. It's frank. Well, it's obviously your personality. It's in your face. But so you're saying if a younger version of you happened to be scrolling through Instagram or Facebook or whatever and saw one of these posts, you would probably say, oh my God, she does what I do? But she looks so happy, and yet I feel so miserable. So I think that contrast might actually help people to see there's life beyond the emotional eating.
Yeah, to know that you're not alone. I always say that. I try to end most of my posts with, you are not alone. Whatever you're battling, that I think that goes for everything, Andrea, whether it's depression, whether it's obsessive this or obsessive that, or anxiety or emotional eating, whatever, you're not alone. Because once we get the hope that we're not alone, somebody else made it to the other side. Hope drives us really far. Hope gives us the courage to look for a solution or to look for help or to look for tools. So putting it out there, there is hope. You're not alone. This is not the end of the world, even though it feels like it. There is a future for you. There is, you know, weight loss for you if you've become really obese, if you're battling your body as well as your mind. There is hope. And there are other people who feel exactly the same way. And there are those who've gone through it and is now standing in a way, way better, healthier place like me. Well, so that's why I keep talking about it.
Yeah, but you're passionate, and I know that you genuinely care. How big were you at your heaviest?
I lost about 130 pounds, right? And I halved my weight. So I must have been about 270, around 270 pounds.
You literally lost one of me. I'm probably, 135-ish. Yes. I don't even know what I weigh now.
Yeah.
That's friggin' cray.
I lost myself. I halved my weight, 50%, after having tried everything else that you can even come by in the universe. Finally, it clicked in my head that there is no external solution in this world that is going to fix my internal problem.
Right, because you tried everything, including
everything.
Bariatric surgery. And
everything.
People usually think, oh, okay, that's going to fix it. Because if you're going to go under the knife and they're going to either put a band or, you know, reattach some things, one would think that that solves the problem. But, you know, Mother Nature created this beautiful human body with ways to get around even the trickery of surgery, meaning you could restretch that little stomach that they made for you. And is that what happened in your case?
Yeah, we're flexible. I can eat as much as you and the next person right now. We are flexible.
Wow.
And I remember my mother saying to me, she looked at me, she said, you realize this surgery is dangerous. I support you. You realize it's going to change your life. It's going to have health consequences just from getting this surgery that you will never get rid of, probably, right? And she said to me, do you really think it's going to help cutting into your stomach if the problem is in your head?
Wow. How old were you?
I was 38, I think. 37 or 38. And that really struck me. But at the time, I was so desperate to try like that one last major. I felt like this is going to fix it. This is the final. You know, I've done all the dieting, had all the temporary results, you know, like, oh, this works. It's a beauty. You could, you know, come back and ask a year later, because that's what we do. As emotional eaters, we keep seeking solutions that are external. And when you, I think, come to peace with it that one day where you decide, okay, I'm now willing to lay down my weapons, I'm laying down my arms, and I'm ready to go a different route. A lot of people don't realize, when I encounter people who are battling anxiety and depression, one of the first things I ask them is, what are you doing to yourself that is so scary?
Hmm.
And they go, huh? Mm-hmm. What do you mean? What am I doing? What? Or some of them go, okay, that's an interesting angle. Because in my experience from my own life, personally and professionally, when I discovered I had huge anxiety, Andrea. I was pretty obviously depressive because I was, you know, my body was shutting down on me. My emotional life was just, oh my God, a disaster, like disaster. I'll go into details later if you want me to. But when I realized that I had the level of anxiety that I had, the panic attacks, and because the killer lived within me, right? How can you run away from a killer or an abuser that lives within you? That is the ultimate terror to live with. Hmm. So I could go do this. I could try help. I could try therapy. I could meditate. I could do all of these things. But until I started treating my soul and my core and this body where my heart was still beating, despite everything I had done to it, until I changed the way I treated that, the anxiety didn't let go. But when I did change that, the anxiety did let go like this. Poof, it just went away. And so I've seen that ever since I implemented that in my work. I see it all the time. Almost all my mentees battle pretty bad anxiety and it goes away. Poof, once they build that foundation, once they start treating themselves completely differently. And I mean, for me, that's just been a major, major key. We're so focused on the side effects instead of treating the actual illness, right? We can put on as many Band-Aids as you want. I can put Band-Aids all over your pretty, you know, I was going to swear there, but I could put Band-Aids all over your pretty ass, but it's not going to help. I want to treat what is actually hurting you.
So it's still going to require, I mean, your approach then is, I would imagine, pretty scary, because if we feel like, okay, even though surgery is radical and scary, we figure, okay, well, they're doctors, they're surgeons, they know what they're doing. And, you know, whatever diet fad we get sucked into, we look at it, and if it sounds enough scientific, or they have some really good before and after pictures, we're like, yeah, yeah, maybe that'll work for me too. But what you're saying is, we're going to forget all this Band-Aid crap, this surface shit. We're going to go to the root of what's really causing your emotional disturbance. We're going to take all that shit out, clean it up, and you're going to be healthy, whole, and rebuild from that solid foundation. When we get back, I'd like you to explain a little bit about the fear process, because let's be honest, it's pretty scary to face yourself. Even if we know that, okay, I'm the one inside my own head sabotaging myself. I am the one who keeps, you know, abusing myself by eating and binging and purging or doing whatever else I'm doing, the shopping, the hoarding, the relationship jumping, the lying, all of that. If we recognize that it's at the end of the day, when you start to look at all the things we've tried, from diets to this approach and that approach and this detox and that cleanse, what is the one constant? The one constant is me. So what you're saying is, I have to just come back home, come back to the self, clean up my own interior mess. And yes, the picture that you're painting of my potential future is rosy and beautiful. And it's also scary, because if you're telling me that the solution does not exist outside of me, then none of those diets or surgeons or pills or shakes or whatevers are going to fix me. What if I can't do it? What if I try to face it and it's either too scary, too overwhelming, or I just fail again? When we get back from the break, Helena, I hope you're ready. I'm counting on you. Give us some solutions.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a great lineup back at AmericaOutloud.com. And also, get the apps. We now stream 24/7 on Android and Apple. Just look for America Out Loud Talk Radio.
You're listening to Liberate Your Authentic Self with me, Dr. Andrea Pennington. Check me out on Instagram at Dr. Andrea Pennington. And now, back to the show. So we have decided we are going to live our life out loud. We're going to liberate our authentic self and pamper and nurture ourselves and really get into this authentic, true self-love. Sounds like a dream, right? Sounds all perfect and rosy and scary as shit. I mean, let's be honest. If we mess it up again this time, what does that leave us with? Well, before we went to break, Helena Philipson, an expert in freedom from emotional eating, she's a life transformation expert. And Helena, I'm really shocked to hear that you kind of look at this, you know, hitting of rock bottom and deciding to change your life. It's almost like agreeing to ride a roller coaster. You lock that belt in and you just put your trust that hopefully the ride is manufactured properly and the driver knows what they're doing. And what's interesting is I love roller coasters. So I look at it as, ooh, I'm excited for the thrill. Whereas other people look at it as very scary. And what you said to me during the break was many of your clients are actually not scared. And I find that really interesting. So tell me more about that.
Yeah, they really aren't. Some of them are, of course, but most of them aren't. And I think it's because they've come to a place where continuing their living is more scary. Hmm. And they look at me and I'm, as you already know, a really, really upfront and honest person. I walk the talk every day of my own life. I don't bullshit about the stuff, which is hard. Some of it is hard work, but it is a constant reward. So yes, there are both sad tears and happy tears in the work we do there. But I think the fact that I stand for what I do, I've done it myself. I've worked with so many people now. I've been in touch with thousands of emotional eaters. And there's a level for everybody. I mean, listen, emotional eating, which of course is my specialty, you can replace that with any emotional dependency, right? You can replace it with whatever you want. It still works. My method still works for everybody. Is that there is excessive use, there is abuse, and there is addiction. And each level has an appropriate treatment, of course, designed especially for that, to reach people exactly where they need to be reached and touched. But to get to the core of this fear you're addressing, of course, some people are scared shitless. Of course they are, because it is unknown territory. When they make that choice to step into my space, whether it's virtual or physical, it's my experience and my belief from the feedback I get, of course, all the time, that when you stand in front of somebody who is radically honest with you, who has gone through it themselves, who shows you both the testament of their life and the famous or infamous before and after pictures, usually they've followed me for quite a while they muster some courage to speak out their own truth, then I feel like a load is lifted from their shoulders. And it's when I did the roller coaster reference, we have this old-fashioned roller coaster here in Copenhagen where there is a guy sitting in a seat in the middle of it with a stick. He controls it. It's the brake and the speed. And once you sit on it, you know, okay, he's got this now. He's got it. And I guess in my world, I am that person with that stick, or my method and my tools are. And so one of the very first things we do is we look at how the hell did you get to where you are now? How much of a warrior are you? Like, how much of a warrior, badass, princess, queen, goddess, you know, I mean, sweet baby, many names, right? Are you to be sitting here in front of me today, whether that is on Skype or in my Lightworks space? And that realization, the very first time I speak to a new mentee and she realizes, like, okay, yeah, I have tried everything I could get my hands on. I have battled my ass off to beat this beast that is somehow, you know, living within me. I have even come to sit and talk to this woman that I don't even know about my most inner shameful feelings. And once the awareness comes in within us about how strong, how much of a warrior we are, because you know what, Andrea? When you're battling emotional dependency, let's just say emotional eating in this case, we often get sort of lulled into, is a Danish word, what would you say in English? We almost fall asleep in this belief that society keeps pushing at us, which is you're weak, You have no willpower. You have no self-control. And honestly, I find it is quite the opposite. These women are some of the strongest women I have ever met. They have just put their strength to use in a self-destructive way.
Yeah, yeah. That is definitely what I've seen working with people with eating disorders and addiction. It's like, dang, you've got some serious strength and some serious power. You've just directed it in a different sort of way. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that takes care of the fear. I mean, that takes care of the, and then the fear will pop up along the way. If we have a 10-week program, you know, the fear will pop up like, okay, I'm about to change this way of, for instance, communicating with my close relations. That feels kind of terrifying, but then we deal with it. We talk about it, you know? I mean, we talk about the control, the perfectionism, the fear of the unknown. And all the time, I provide the tools you need to do it. This is not just empty talk, blah, 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 you know, go meditate on this and I'll see you next week. You know, you need certain tools. You can't just let go of shit without replacing it with something else. We're human beings.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's about the process. It's very much about the process and the resources, uncovering all these amazing resources that every single one of us have.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, because it means we can take our strengths and then just redirect them. Learning these new resources that you're talking about, a new way to process life and function in life, but utilizing our strengths. So it doesn't mean that we're broken, defective, useless, worthless, or whatever. No, we've got some innate strength and abilities, and now we can just redirect it. The other thing that you mentioned that I can relate to is this idea of surrender. Now, I never had problems with emotional eating, but with my depression, I hid it. You know, I didn't feel comfortable sharing with the whole world that I was depressed. I was a, you know, high functioning, very successful, looked like I was happy on the outside because I was faking the funk. But when the times that I've been most willing to just be natural and be open, it happened once when I was at the pediatrician with my daughter. And she was just a tiny baby at the time. And thank God for Dr. Razi is her name, back in DC. Beautiful, beautiful, heart-centered woman. And she just looked at me and she was like, you are not okay. Like, she saw through the, because I was basically just like, you know, I was depressed. I was sleep deprived. I'm like, with this little baby, I'm like, I don't want to break the baby. I don't want her to pick up my negativity. And that's when she pulled out of her little Rolodex two names and sent me to a therapist. And that, it's like you with describing Lightworks or your virtual Lightwork space. There's this safe, protected space where we can surrender. And when I went to see this doctor, that's exactly what I did. I said, you know what? At least in this safe therapeutic environment, I'm going to lay it all out there. I'm going to tell them all the stuff I've done, all the terrible thoughts I had, including the really dark ones that I was ashamed of, the ones that even scared me that I was having these thoughts. And I just threw it all out there. And it was so, I was just telling my daughter one little piece of, not the whole dark story, but one thing that I found is what you've just described, is sometimes we have society telling us, oh, if you're overweight or you're an addict, it just means you're useless. You have no willpower. You just can't get your shit together. And I had also internalized some negative voices. And one of them was just, you know, you're not smart enough. You're not clever enough. You don't have what it takes to hold this all together. And when I confessed that, I remember this therapist looking at me going, and I think he was very, very good about kind of, you know, holding that non-judgmental demeanor, but I could see his face kind of going like, what'd she just say? Because I literally, not that I think I'm a genius now, but at that time, I did not think I was smart. And he broke something down for me, like just understanding the way the world looks at intelligence, or the way I had been thinking of intelligence in a very one-dimensional way. Anyway, I won't bore you with all the details, but it made me understand that my resourcefulness that I hadn't even given credit to was my strength. And if I could redirect those strengths and that resourcefulness and my intelligence, thank you, Dr. Filial, I could be better. And so I love that you're describing this sense of surrendering is not a matter of defeat. It's a matter of being open and willing to take in some new information. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I usually use there's like a meme quote, which goes something like, to share your vulnerability is to share your ultimate strength. And my life used to be that I had a pretty tough shell on the outside. You know, I was pretty hardcore. I would, you know, like stomp through the village and get a lot of stuff done. And if anybody said the word impossible, I'd be like, what'd you say? Can you say that again? You know, just try me, you know, say that again. Because I would just push through, you know. And then I would fall into the other dark side of the moon on that and be totally lethargic. I would be passive. I would be eating, and not be able to do absolutely zero. So I think the understanding that having a hard shell on the outside and a really soft, mushy interior may sometimes not work very well for us. It works better to build, in my experience, to build a really strong, healthy core and then be soft on the outside. Mm. And strong, healthy core for me does not mean cold or hard. It means solid. It means resilient. It means creative. It means giving. It means just wisdom. Your core wisdom is reconnected. But I think it's what you just said, that story is really, really great, because sometimes people will, like, I love it when you meet, sometimes I don't have a lot of filter. I just speak. You may have noticed. Has anybody noticed?
Really?
I just speak, you know, what's important for me. And sometimes when I meet somebody who don't have a filter as well, and they look at me and go, holy sh, you know, like, so you were that overweight, or you did, like, damn, and you just tell people about it, you know, like, as in their instinct is, damn, aren't you just like so embarrassed, like, well, like, and you show them pictures of, like, even in a bikini, like, before and I can tell they almost die inside,
yeah,
just asking me about it. And that's actually one of my keys also when it comes to the fear part that we talked about before, right? Is that because I have been to such extremes, Andrea, and I really have, I've realized I've been to more extremes than most people will ever go to, but that is one of my ultimate strengths. It is that by sharing that honestly, openly, and shame-free, I have been able to look at every single one of my mentees up until now, at every single person I've met in this line of work, and say, there is nothing you can say to me that I haven't either heard before or done worse myself. So you don't got to fear nothing. No, this is I call it shame-free talking, tax-free talking. This is the shame-free zone, baby. You can just lay it out. Anything you want to talk about, infidelities or fraud or crime, or you bring it on, you know? And that room, of course, releases. We are only as sick as our secrets.
Wow. So there it is, y'all. We are only as sick as our secrets. Well, Helena, I know that you'll be back because we have some more stuff to talk about. What I'm really curious to dig into, without like putting you on Front Street, I don't want to, you know, dig up any skeletons. But I think the other thing we need to talk about in looking at this all-inclusive lifestyle and getting out of abuse is relationships. Because I know you've got some wedding bells that are going to be played soon. So we're going to have to leave it there for today, however. So first and foremost, I want to thank you for just being here, being who you are in the world, you know, raising up the consciousness of our friends and our tribe and sharing the love. Yes. So first and foremost, we can get your book, your free ebook. It's an e-guide, really comprehensive, on what is emotional eating. You can check it out on Amazon. We will put the links in the description, as well as at helenaphillipson.com, correct?
That's correct.
And what other resources? Like, you have some free resources that could help us right now. So if you have been listening and you feel like you have some emotional eating or other behaviors that are just edging towards out of control, or they're already out of control, Helena, what else have you got for us?
So important is that anybody listening to this who is feel like they're battling a healthy, unhealthy emotional foundation, whether it comes out as eating or whatever, go to my website. There are two free quizzes. One is a free quiz on self-love, which is about codependency. And there is, I call it the world's best, which I often, you know, get comments from people called Andrea, but, you know, I won't go into that. I have a really, really thoroughly developed quiz on emotional eating. So if it pops up as something, okay, I recognize them, take that quiz and it'll give you a feeler as to where you are. It is totally free and it's on the web, helenaphillipson.com. So emotional eating quiz, definitely worth the while.
All right. Well, thank you again, Helena. And I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Andrea. Thank you so much for talking to me. It was awesome as always.
Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dr. Andrea. And did you know, I'm on the radio daily. Visit AmericaOutloud.com to download the Talk Radio app.